This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, Britain's Department of Happiness. But first, week one of the Lewis Libby trial is over. Mr. Libby, who was Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, is charged with lying to investigators and a grand jury about leaking the name of CIA agent Valerie Plame. According to the prosecution, the leak was part of efforts to discredit Ms. Plame's husband, Joseph Wilson, who had been openly critical of the Bush administration's justification for the war in Iraq. The defense argues that Mr. Libby was made the fall guy to protect the president's top political aide, Karl Rove. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg has been covering the trial and joins us in our studios. Nina, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
And how exactly is Mr. Libby claiming that he was essentially hung out to dry?
Well, on day one of the trial, we hear Libby's defense lawyers outline what they're going to tell the jury in the weeks to come. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that Libby misremembered events when he testified to the grand jury. It's not just that he had a huge plate of, you know, terrorism and horrible things to worry about. It's much more. It's that he was set up as a scapegoat to protect Karl Rove, who was the lifeblood of the Republican Party, as the defense lawyer put it. Now, it's really not clear how one is connected to the other, but they say that's what their defense is, and that's what we're going to hear.
What's the testimony so far been?
Well, you know, in some ways, this is a lose-lose proposition for the administration. Mm-hmm. Scooter Libby could be acquitted, but that doesn't change the fact that we are being invited into the sausage factory to see how the sausage is made at the White House. We've heard so far from four witnesses, including the former number three at the State Department, the former number three at the CIA, also the CIA official who briefed Libby every day, and Vice President Cheney's former press officer. And they all testified that they had told Libby about Valerie Plame's identity.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the courtroom appearance of the Vice President's former press officer, Kathy Martin. She lifted the veil quite a bit on the operations of the Vice President's office, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And she gave the court quite a behind-the-scenes view of how the Vice President's office sought to manipulate the press. Now, of course, all White Houses, all politicians do this. This is their lifeblood. Mm-hmm. But we saw that through her words that the Vice President was personally involved and quite consumed with rebutting Ambassador Wilson's charges, which he thought were outrageous. He says he didn't know that Ambassador Wilson had gone on the trip to Niger, Wilson said he thought he was sent on by the vice president, and Cheney felt that he was being maligned, that he didn't know about it, and he wanted the public to know about it. But in an office where they don't normally return press calls and aren't very cooperative, this was a hard sell.
A lot of lawyer power in that courtroom.
Well, at the prosecution table, there are usually about four lawyers and a couple of FBI agents, investigators, people like that. On the other side, on Libby's side, they tell us that they've raised over $3 million, but that wouldn't begin to pay for what I'm just can see with my own bare eyes, as it were. I can see 11 lawyers from three different major law firms. And you've got to know that for every one of those 11, there are probably three or four back at the office toiling away.
I'm trying to run the math.
It's humongous. And these are very good lawyers, all of them, the prosecutors and defense. So a lot of lawyer power.
You've called this trial a good example of what a small town Washington, D.C. can be.
Well, it really is. My favorite, one of the jurors who's a retired postal worker, and in the jury selection process, she told the judge that one of her sons had pled guilty to a drug charge. And the judge said to her, well, how much time did he get? And she said, you ought to know, judge, you sentenced him.
Well, but they still managed to find 12 people, right?
12 people and four alternates.
NPR's legal affairs correspondent, Nina Totenberg. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.